My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
You can make your way back to your pew. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 50, verse 14. How many of you ever heard this before? Somebody's trying to encourage you and they say, don't take it personal. How many of you ever heard that before? How many of you hit the person that said it? Confess. Don't take it personal. They do that to everybody. I've heard that before. But my text today is going to be just a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to take it personal. I'm going to ask you to take the promise personal. Now, I understand there are certain corporate promises in the scripture that deal with the whole body of Christ or Israel or an entire group of people, and I understand that. But I also understand that there are some promises in the scripture that were not meant for just the corporate body. They were meant for you. And you need to take it personal. For Acts 2:39 says, for the promise is unto you. I can't hear you. I'm going, like my grandfather used to say, I'm going deep. And the promise is unto
you.
That's not corporate. That's you as an individual. That means you were on his mind when he died on the cross. And the promise is yours. Take it personal. Here's Psalms 50 and 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And you will glorify me. I will do it. You. I understand there's resistance to that concept because there are people here that probably feel unworthy. Some feel entitled that they deserve it, and both can be detrimental to you acquiring the promise. I understand that very well, but I've come to declare to you that repentance can put you in perfect alignment. And you can repent and say, God, I may not be worthy and I certainly don't deserve it, but I sure do need you, for I am in trouble. I don't know what you need from the Lord this morning, but I promise you that if you'll take it personal, my God will deliver. You. I was taking my grandkids to school, and Ella said, there are angels up in heaven. And Eva said, there's angels in this car. And if my wife would have been driving with us, she said, we need him with Papa driving. But she wasn't. The Lord was good. And then Ella said, yeah, but there's some of them angels that don't like Jesus very much. Talking about fallen angels. And I said, I've met a few of those in my lifetime. I just want to know how many of you like Jesus here today and want the promise to be yours. So I want to show you. I want to show you. You need to learn how to take the promise personally. Amen. So let's pray. Everybody together. Father, I thank you for the wonderful word that is going to be delivered today, and I ask that you would show us how we can take this promise personally, and we want to align ourselves with your perfect will. And we do appreciate and value everything you have done in our lives, for you are the mighty God. I place a bloodline around this congregation and every life that might be in difficulty or adversity and needs to advance beyond that so that they can fulfill the perfect will for their life. God, you are the deliverer. You are the redeemer. You are the healer. And you are the shepherd of our life. Lead us and guide us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you read Psalms 50, the entire psalm, you'll see that God was upset with Israel because they were worshiping, but not with their heart. They were bringing their sacrifices and their offerings, and they were going through the rituals of the tabernacle and temple, but they didn't have their heart in it. God wants us to put our heart into worship. He wants our passion into worship. He wants us to worship and to love him with all of our soul, mind, and strength. God prefers real worship to ritual. Ritual and just coming to church and going through the motions of liturgical worship is not enough. He wants you to experience worship, not just by what others do, but he wants you to personally worship God. And I thank God for everyone that worships here and that comes together to lift up the name of Jesus, but you can't worship for me and you can't worship for somebody else. The only person you can really worship for is yourself. You must enter into worship. You can't wait for the right musical number. You can't wait for somebody to hit the right note or somebody to say the right thing. You need to come to God, and especially if you're in trouble and if you're in need of a transformation or a change in your life, you need to come and worship with passion. And you need to ignore what everybody else is going to think about you, because what they think should not affect your worship one single bit. They already think you're crazy to be in church anyhow, so you might as well go ahead and say, I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I think everybody here ought to be able to lift their voice in the face of the enemy and say, devil, you can take a lot of stuff from me, but you'll never take my worship, and you'll never take my faith, and you'll never take my passion, and you'll never take my love for Jesus Christ. Trouble will put meaning into your prayers like nothing else will. The language spoken from the cry of a heart is understood well by the Almighty. He doesn't understand the language of pomp and circumstance and show, but trouble has a way of putting some virtue into your spirit and into your prayers. It can reveal your spirituality. It adds intensity. Too many of us are like the tops we used to play with when we were boys. They don't spin unless they're whipped, and some of us are the same way. It adds humility. We're too oversatisfied with our praise and our performance. And many times when we're in trouble, then we come running to the rock. It reveals our faith, because if God can find but just a trace of faith anywhere, just the size of a grain of mustard seed, he will be here instantly to minister to you. Singers can sing their sweet melody, and preachers can preach with great eloquence, and God be far from it. We can come in here and we can create energy with our music. Belshazzar can drink out of the vessels of the sanctuary and still not see the handwriting on the wall and not know what it means when he sees it. Prayer to God in trouble is an acceptable sacrifice, but how easy it is to say a prayer without really coming in contact with God, because we're afraid of the changes that the Lord might make in our life. Our prayers ought to be something that is given unto the Lord with such intensity and desire that I just don't want an answer. I don't want to just get out of my trouble. I want to find God. I like what one writer said. Many prayers might as well be said backward as well as forwards, because they mean as much one way as they do the other. The abracadabra of the magician has quite as much virtue as some people's prayers, because there's no passion in it. And what the Lord is looking for in every one of us is a spirit of thankfulness. Not I lack this, Lord, but I've got you and I've got everything and I need you. I would just love for a spirit of thanksgiving to hit everybody in this house. Yes, you might be in trouble right now, but it might be that trouble that brought you into this place today. It might be that adversity that's brought you to the house today. That might be why you need to clap your hands with a little more intensity. That might be why you need to cry out to the Lord with a little bit more energy than you normally do. Because you need to be thankful. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been bought with a price. I've been filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. I ought to be the most thankful individual in this place. We got food on the table and a roof over our head, and we're in the house of God. We ought to be the most thankful people on this planet. That's what God's missing from some of our worship today. Some of you act like you're entitled to everything. That God didn't do me right because he didn't give me this. God's never done me nothing but good. I said, God's never done me nothing but good. He's never done anything but drag me out of the pit. He's never done anything but dig me out of the mud. He's never done anything but he's hewn me out of the rock and set my feet on a solid foundation. Just the fact that you call on God in the day of trouble brings glory to himself. Calling on God at any time honors him. But when you call on him in the day of trouble, it has a special mark that pleases the Lord, because it yields glory to his name. And I believe it's your recognition that God is indeed God. It's your ability to say that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you can call upon him in the day of trouble, it possesses a sincere belief that God exists, that there is a higher power that can help. And when you follow God in the dark, your faith has the ability to develop into a solid metal that's not melted by just any circumstance or situation. Calling on God in trouble is that heart language that he listens to. It's the language of the heart. In Psalms 38:22, it says, make haste to help me, O God of my salvation. Psalm 40:13 says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Psalm 69:17, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble, and hear me speedily. Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Did I just say that? Or did the word record that and I'm reading right out of the word? Let me say it again. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all. I can't hear you. I'm going deep. Of their troubles. There is not one single. Quit letting the devil lie to you. There is not a single trouble. There is nothing you're in that God can't get you out of right now. There is no problem. There is no crisis. I would to God that somebody would have some passion in this place that says, God has delivered me out of them all. That promise is not just for the righteous and the corporate church that are here. It is for anyone that needs him, that'll call upon him and repent. When the promise becomes personal, we'll manifest hope that God is true to his word. It gives him honor when you claim that his word is true. I don't stand on my emotions and how I feel today. Because if you're in trouble sometimes, you're not going to feel much. If you're in adversity, you're not going to have a great deal of feeling other than you're in trouble. But it gives him honor when you stand on his word. I don't worship just because I feel something. I worship because God is good. I worship because he is merciful. I worship because he is of infinite grace. I worship because I know who he is. And I know his character. I take it personal because I cling to him with a desperation of affection that he is the only one that can get me out of trouble. The devil will tell you that the trouble has come upon you to destroy you because you've been so bad and you have sinned. And it may be that God has sent the trouble to awaken you before you end up in trouble so that you can turn from your wickedness and you can turn to God in repentance. That may be true, but your trouble has never come into your life to destroy you. It has always come into your life to mold and shape you for your destiny. I don't know if any of you have ever heard somebody tell you to curse God and die. I think we ought to answer as Job answered, "Thou speakest as one as the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil?" I'm going to follow the example of Hezekiah. When I get a letter in the mail and it's not a good one, I'm going to bring it to the altar like he did Rabshakeh's letter. And he let God read the letter and put it before the Lord and watch God go to work. Because he can slay 160,000 Assyrians in one day. I'm going to imitate David at Ziklag when everybody wants to stone you. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I think somebody ought to follow Jehoshaphat's example. And he called a call to war prayer meeting. I hadn't done the first one. Jehoshaphat did the first one. And he called the war prayer meeting and said, "We're going to wait on God." And when the prophet spoke, he said, "Send Judah out first and the priest and let them worship and sing and praise the Lord, because we're going to sing this enemy down. We're going to sing this victory into existence. We're going to praise him." Come on, church. It's not a time to hide. It's not a time to reserve anything. I think you ought to let God have it all. Give it all to him. Don't give half worship. If you're going to praise him, then act like you want to be here. If you're going to worship him, then act like he can answer you. If you're going to call on him, quit being casual in your praise. Quit being casual in your dedication. I say give it all. Give it everything you've got. Reserve nothing. When you have once put the burden before the Lord, then learn how to leave it with him. I'm preaching to people that pick it back up. That's what I'm doing. Sure enough, you'll bring it to this altar and leave it. But before you leave, you're going to come back here and get it. And you're going to carry it with you. Sure enough. Instead of trusting, instead of walking out of here and changing your conversation, "I'm taking this personal. God's going to deliver me and I'm going to glorify him." Marcia, where are you, Marcia? Are you in the house? There you are, right in front of Brother Jim. Praise God. I want you to just stand up and shout hallelujah for no other reason than you got a good report. Hallelujah. Michaela, I want you to stand up and praise the Lord. Why? Because she took the promise personal. It's not just for a few handful in the house of super spiritual meat lips. It's for you and your children and all that are afar off. I wish somebody would worship God in this house. I wish somebody would say, I thank God for healing for Sister Welch and Sister Linda and Sister Sandy and everybody in the house. You can be healed. So I want you to say something to yourself. Now, how many of you know that a lot of times when you talk to yourself, you say the wrong thing? Now, I'm not going to just rebuke you for saying the wrong thing. I'm going to give you the right thing to say. And it's a scripture in the Bible. And it says, my soul. He's talking to himself. It's a very intelligent man to talk to. So he talks to himself. My soul, wait thou only upon God. So you need to say to your soul, you need to speak it to yourself. For my expectation is from him. And I'm just telling you right now that your expectation is from, whoa, hallelujah. It's not from this preacher today. I said it's not from this preacher today. It's not because I'm speaking on the subject. It's because it was written. My. I said it was written thousands of years before you were born. Whoa! You say, how do you know it's true? Because he said, my truth endureth to all generations. I'm too young. No, you're not. I'm too old. No, you're not. I'm middle-aged. Don't make any difference. You might be ugly, but God still loves you anyway. You might be tall, short, well-developed, underdeveloped, whoa, but God still loves you and the promise is yours. Take it. I will deliver you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. That's the answer. It's not merely I'll think about it and I'll hear you. I'll propose plans for you. I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to a few angels and see if we can get together and work something out. I'll somewhat aid you in working them out. He said, I will deliver you. It's solid, substantial aid that God said he would do. I think you ought to be like Israel when God told them, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. And this is what the Lord sent me to tell some of you. You've got something in your way and in your path that you think is just so overwhelming and it is insurmountable. But I've come to declare in the Holy Ghost right now, you walk out of this building, you call upon the Lord and believe and take this promise personal. You will see your trouble no more. It will be gone when you walk through that door. Today, you can get the Holy Ghost. Because some of you said, the stone is rolled over the mouth of the grave. And who will roll the stone away? When you walk up to the grave, it's going to be gone. I said, it's going to be gone. You're going to be like Noah, surrounded by a flood, but it shall not overflow you. You'll be like the three Hebrew children in the furnace of fire, and the fire will not be kindled upon you. You're going to walk through your Red Sea on dry ground and be triumphant, and you ought to rejoice in it before you ever get it. Because this is what the Lord says to you. This is scripture now. I will also bring thee out of it altogether. For these things have an appointed end. God's already put the date on the calendar when it's going to end. And I've just come to tell you, today is your day. Now take it personal. I said, take it personal. Woo! I wish somebody would just take it personal. Yeah, that's mine. I got it. I got it. Today. Listen to me, all my Josephs in the house. You're coming out of your prison. And God's got a throne that he's going to sit you upon. Like David, you're going to leave the caves and the rocks of the wild goats, and you're going to have your feet in a large room. You're going to be like Daniel, and you're going to be taken from among the lions and set among the princes. Now you need to declare it. I will deliver you. Say it. Leave the how to God. Leave the when to God. Leave everything to God. Because he's going to do it now. I like it. He said, I'm not going to send my angels to do this one. I'm not going to send anybody in my place. I'm coming. He's going to rescue you. I will be a wall of fire around you. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. And I will keep it not night and day. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So the first thing you need to do is you need to offer thanksgiving. Say, well, I want to make the promise personal. Offer just thank him for everything he's done, even the trouble itself that caused you to praise him. Yeah, I figured you would just really respond to that one. You need to thank God for the trouble because it woke you up. And you realize you need God. Some of you are going to discard this message and walk out of there, and you're going to walk right into the biggest trouble of your life because you won't wake up. I said, you won't wake up. God's trying to wake us up in this church without the trouble. Then you're going to walk out that door and walk right into adversity and trouble. But I tell you, you need to rise up and thank God for the trouble because that's what woke you up. And you need to pay your vows. That means you remember when you was in trouble and you told God you was going to do such and such and you ain't done it yet? You need to keep coming to church even in trouble. You need to come to church and you need to pay your tithes and give in the offerings and do the things that God's called you to do, even in trouble. I talked about money and everybody's shout just went out the back door. Well, let me just say it a different way. You still need to praise God even when you're in trouble. Marcia, I believe God can make that other kidney just like the right one. In Jesus' name. I can't hear you. I'm going deep. I'm telling you, God can heal Linda, Sandy, Sister Welch, in Jesus' name. Right now, take it personal. I said, take it home. That's my promise. That's my promise. That's my promise. You talk about rejoicing when God lifts you out of the dungeon. You're going to praise Him. See, you're going to glorify me. I'm going to snap the fetters from your hands. I'm going to tear away every entanglement. I'm going to make a plain path for your feet. I'm going to bring you through the impossible. And now you're going to honor Him by your testimony of declaring it. You're going to tell the story. You're going to start growing in faith and in patience. And you're going to grow in the confidence that what you're doing is the right thing. But I just keep doing it. I keep doing it. But the Bible says, for He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and His hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7. There shall no evil touch thee. I've tried and I've proved my God, and I dare not doubt Him now, because He has delivered me from every one of my enemies. God cannot deliver a man who's not in trouble, and He can't heal a man that's not sick. So if you're in that trouble, then you can find out He's a deliverer. If you're sick, you can find out He's a healer. And you need to partner with God. You need to say, okay, God, He says, call upon me and I'll deliver you. And your blessing is you're going to be delivered. And then your response to that deliverance is I'm going to praise Him. I like what one old lady said. She said, you know, if Jesus really saves me, He's never going to hear the last of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what I am. Or like one elder said, I got saved and I haven't gotten over it. I want to know, First Pentecostal Church, if God does deliver you, I don't think you ought to let Him hear the last of it. Your peace is beyond understanding. Your joy is unspeakable and full of glory. The devil can't talk you out of your peace, and he can't take your faith or your joy. You ought to become more consecrated than you've ever been. Because God's answer is personalized. It's got your name on the package. You see, when Mary, who did not recognize Him, was in the garden after His resurrection, saw that the tomb was empty and supposed Him to be the gardener and was looking for Him, she turned away from Him according to the scriptural text. But Jesus said, Mary. Woo! Gary. Huh? Eddie, praise God. Jesus said, Matthew, Maddie, praise God. Jesus is calling you by name. Call on me and see what I'll do. Call on me and I will deliver you. I think somebody ought to do it. I think somebody ought to call on Him today. Somebody needs the Holy Ghost. Intercessors, everybody stand. Intercessors, come on up to the front. Intercessors, prayer warriors, people that are designed to come up here, those of you that know your places up here, come on up here. Because God's about to heal somebody in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's going to be blessed. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. And it's yours today. And the promise is personal. Take it personal. Take it personal. So, step out by faith today and just call on Him and see what He'll do. Step out by faith. Where you're standing, step out and walk up here and claim victory in your life right now. Come on. You need an answer from God. Some of you are in trouble. Some of you may not even be in trouble, but you've been awakened to your need of God, to your need of God's blessing and touch in your life. Up in the balcony.
Hallelujah, Nabo Shata Mariana. And it's your promise. Claim that. Offer thanksgiving, pay your vow. And then promise, I'm going to testify and I'm not going to let you hear the last of it. If you save me, I won't let you hear the last of it. Step out by faith right now. Step out by faith. That's it. Step out by faith. Jesus loves you in this house. You need to claim that victory. Now you gotta lay down your entitlement. You gotta lay down your pride. We got a lot of pride in the Pentecostal church. Good gracious alive. We preach against a lot of sins, but we have failed to preach against pride. People can't worship because they're proud, can't come to the altar because they're proud, can't do that. You got to lay that pride down and walk up here and say, I need God. That lets you know you're not in charge of your own life, but God is. You're putting God in control of your life so that he can work in the midst. So if you're in trouble, you walk up here and you let God. Now, prayer warriors, I want you to start praying with people right now all over the house. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to seek the Lord. Saints of God that are still standing in the back, come on up here to the front and get with somebody. You can, God can use you right now to get with somebody. I got people all over this place praying. And I need help up here. Say, well, we need revival. Well, it's right here in this altar. Where else you gonna go get it? It ain't up there in the balcony. It ain't at Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's right here. Get up here if you want it. Get it. It's here. It's in the house. Take the promise personal. It's my promise. Come on now and seek the Lord together.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.